Hey everyone, fantastic show today. We were joined as a surprise today by Meow, who is the founder of Jupiter Exchange. And we did a live breakdown and deep dive into the Jupiter token, some of the FUD that's been going on about the team selling some of their tokens, and really just got a great explanation of everything from Meow and their plans for the future. It was a really, really good interview. Highly recommend you guys listen to it. Very educational. And today's show is brought to you in partnership with Shrapnel, who just announced their STX 1 playtest, which will be happening next week, February 8th, with over $100,000 in Shrap token up for grabs. If you want to participate, you can go buy an extraction pack at thenifty.com/shrapnel, and you can use promo code Nifty for 30% off to participate in that next week. Thanks again and enjoy the show. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Nifty Show. I believe it's number 651. I hope you all had a fantastic day yesterday of the Jupiter airdrop. We got a six-figure easy in the house. This guy is looking absolutely fantastic. I'm sure the DMs are looking clogged for the big guy. But today we are going to discuss the Jupiter airdrop, the aftermath, what's been going on. There's a little bit of FUD on the timeline as well, a lot of FUD on Twitter. We're going to talk about it, break it down, give you everything you need to know about that. We're going to be talking also about the next airdrop you need to be farming, you need to be looking for. I've been getting my hands dirty. I got in the trenches yesterday, and I'll talk a little bit about what I've been doing, but I want to get Easy's take on it. And lastly, we're going to be picking the winner of the month for February. That's going to be a very, very fun segment we'll be running at the very end of the show. I got a new coffee I'm trying, courtesy of Trader Joe's. It's downright fantastic. New K-Cups, way better than the Starbucks one, so I feel good. K-Cups?
You using K-Cups?
It was the Starbucks K-Cups. I realized a lot of people DM me, and they were like, because I've been tweeting a little bit about coffee. They're like, dude, yo, straight up, that is not good for you. You're just filling your body up with microplastics. So I feel fantastic, but I got these Trader Joe's ones, which are a little bit more environmentally friendly. Tastes fantastic.
But they're still...
Yeah. I just throw that puppy in the Keurig, dude. Just roop. just let it rip.
I've since upgraded to a French press. And let me tell you, life is way better.
It's just too much work. But yeah, you know, you win some, you lose some. Easy. Real quick, you look fantastic. He's got a little bit of a smirk on his face. You see that, Nick?
You should turn your volume just slightly down on that mic. Just slightly down.
Hey, you're just screaming at us, Clemente. I don't really know why.
Easy's like an NFT right now. You know, 2 years ago when he was at like Jellyfish, he wasn't very attractive. And then 2 years later, when the price has gone up and he has all the Jupiter tokens, all of a sudden he's looking like 100th ETH Pudgy Penguin. Everyone thinks he's extremely attractive. Well, at least I do. And Clemente does. And Nick does, but he's just got a bit of like, you know, resentment.
He's just a little resentful. It's fine. I get it.
Some guy made a video. Did you see the video?
That video was crazy with OG
on a yacht. Yes. And his girlfriend. At the end of the video, it sounds like you're literally having sex with the girl. Is that what the situation is there?
That's what it sounds like. And he has Meow, who's the founder of Jupiter, in the background, just meowing. Like, yeah. I messaged OG. I was like, that was wild. Like, that was the most out of pocket thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, listen.
Well, we don't need to play it on here.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't.
He's literally adding sex sound effects inside of this video. He was having FOMO, basically. Little does he know that Easy's airdrop is not enough to get a yacht.
For anything, really.
Give Rolexes to everybody.
Listen, I wish, but hey, sometimes, maybe the next one. Maybe Jupiter season 2 in next January.
Yeah, you're going to dump on us again, huh, Easy?
Hey, dude, I've only sold 30%. I'm actually down right now on the initial claim. So I should have waited. Should have waited until all this FUD surfaced to claim.
Yeah. And by the way, we'll put it on the newsletter, both the video with the sex noises and the FUD that's been going on. So you guys are going to be caught up to speed, both from the audio perspective and visually. So
it's the sex video. That's what they call that.
Got it. Yes.
Got it. Well, send the link. All right.
That's crazy.
Some shout outs. Guys, I think this might be one of the biggest Bodago of the Day shout outs to date. that I want to talk about. I want to give a shout out to Bo Puppo, who is the Bodogo of the day. They put on a highlight reel yesterday, Nick. I don't know if you saw, but I've been
following. He bought the one of one.
Not that. That's actually not even the part that I like the most. The first thing was right when the raffle launched, the Rough Racing raffle, which you can go enter at thenifty.com/PPP, by the way. Bo Puppo went, bought 50 tickets for the raffle, tweeted about it. Hey, I entered in the raffle. Freaking awesome. Then, after the show, tweeted a video of them farming the Jupiter or LPing a Jupe using the video we talked about. He's like, hey, thanks for the tutorial. I'm making some money. And then goes on and starts putting in some bids on the one of ones for Bodogos and bought. Is this Braveheart for Barkhart for 130 Solana? Freaking awesome. Shout out to Bo Puppo. I'm fired up. You can go follow Bo Puppo at Bo Puppo. I mean, this guy, look at this branding. Just fantastic.
I added one more day. Some people are going to be disappointed, but I added one more day to the raffle just to give people enough time. But in all honesty, it's also to allow the reveal to show up properly without any bugs. So I want to apologize. It's my fault. This has been a trial run. There's also some people that were saying that they couldn't use their dogs, that they had been banned from the site, probably for abuse. They were banned from the site and I need to go unban them. I want to give everyone an equal opportunity. That said, you have a pretty good chance at this point of winning. Only 10,000 tickets, but it's not actually about the number of tickets. What I should actually display here is the number of participants that are in the raffle, because that's the biggest indicator. Yesterday, you had a 35% chance of winning, even if you got one ticket, because ultimately, and it's not really actually 35%, but basically, obviously, someone that has, let's say someone bought 2,000 tickets, that person has really good odds of winning, but once they're bought, they're selected, all of their tickets disappear. So it's not a perfect situation. Obviously, the more tickets you have, the better odds, but you got pretty good odds regardless. So I postponed the raffle drawing to tomorrow. Apologies for anyone that's disappointed, but pretty excited to roll that out tomorrow, and the redeem functionality will be set right up. We also have these hats in hand and we'll ship them right away.
I entered. I bought 40 tickets. I might buy 100. And if I win, I'm going to give it away to someone, a little Bodogo holder. So I'm in the running here, Nick. I saw you tweet about the odds. I'm getting in on this action. Before we get started and I throw it over to Signal for the weather report, I want to give a shout out to Shrapnel, the partner of today's show, the official gaming partner of Bodogos. They've just announced their STX 1 event coming on February 8th, which is the Shrapnel Training Exercise Part 1. There's $100,000 in Shrap token up for grabs, ladies and gentlemen. So you might want to get involved with that. It's leaderboard-based, so depending on how well you do in the leaderboard, you can make some money while also playing the game and having some fun, testing it out, giving them some feedback. Literally the only way you can get in is by owning a Shrapnel extraction pack, which we've been talking about for the last few months. You can go to thenifty.com/shrapnel and use promo code Nifty to get a 30% off your extraction pack. Lastly, we're giving away an operator as well, worth about $450 right now on Twitter. You can check out the pinned tweet to enter. Super easy. Winners will be picked in 24 hours. Nick, anything to jump in here with?
No, last thing on the hat, it's now down to 23% chance. There's 285 people that entered the raffle for the hat. So one 65. Wait, how many do we have? 68?
63 hats.
63. I just did the math wrong. 22%.
Got it.
22% of people that participate right now will get that hat.
Heck yeah. I'm excited. Signal, please take it away with the weather report whenever you're ready.
It's Thursday, February the 1st, folks. If we look at the ETH market volume, that is coming in at 21 million. That Solana market volume is coming in at 8 million. If we look at the market leaders, well, there's just not a lot of movement on the blue chips, while other top movers include the AOF versus Founders Pass. That is back up over 50% to 0.18 ETH. Elemental Beans, they're back down 10%. Hate Prime, that is up 43% to 0.33 ETH. And OK Bears, they're up to over 17 SOL. Over the past 24 hours, the top four stories are, well, firstly, obviously, is Jupiter's exchange token. It's had a lot of controversy over the last 24 hours, despite the successful launch. It's currently sitting at 0.60 and has a 6 billion market cap with 460,000 wallets. They have claimed, but we've still got more to go. That is actually less than 50% of the eligible wallets. The Jupiter team did receive some FUD around the LPs and potential sell lockups, which we will discuss later on in the show. On to story number two, after receiving more FUD earlier this week and a floor price dumping 70%, AOF First has announced that they have restructured their upcoming token distribution to holders, receiving now 4% of the total supply. Before that, it was 1%. Now we're going to have 10% unlocked at token launch, which is four times more than what was initially allocated. The AOF First Foundation's Founders Pass has rallied 50% on the news to 0.18 ETH. Thirdly, over on Ordinals, Quantum Cats have delayed again their mint for the third time. It's going to now happen on Monday. They're citing problems with their custom website for this mint. The runes, however, are the winners over on Ordinals, as they have seized most of the attention. They are now up to 0.07 BTC floor, despite having a 21,000 market supply. If Clemente did his math right, that is actually the same market cap as Decode. And then lastly, the FUD continues for projects this week following Valhalla and AO First. Now, the spotlight is on Momoguru, the project that minted out almost a year ago after announcing a children's TV show. They received massive backlash from Grail.eth. Again, he's a big holder of the studio. The lack of deliverables on the games and the IP activations that were promised. After reaching an all-time high of nearly one ETH, Momoguru is now sitting at a horrible floor of 0.02 ETH. That is all for the weather report. It's back to you folks in the studio.
Classic. Like, got him with the old, it could be Disney. Happens every time. Singer. Happens every time.
You know you're down bad when you have to turn off the comments.
And Momo gurus look like what are those super Yetis? If you look at that art, this reminds me of Super Yeti in some sort of abstract. Okay, well, now it doesn't. But it did from a distance. Dude, these characters
called them out, Nick. I remember when these guys were minting in February, we were like, hey, this is going to be a cook. And you were like, these guys are, what do you mean award-winning studio? What the hell have these guys done? It sounds a little fishy to me. And all the Momoguru people were like, yo, Nick, FUDing the bags again. Someone didn't get whitelist.
I'll say the weather report this morning was all FUD.
That's what I was thinking. It was just a FUD of bad news across the space. First of all, collections hadn't moved. Then it was AOF verse. Then it was Momoguru. Then it was Jup token. And it's just been FUD. Clemente, what's going on? Isn't nothing good out there?
Dude, it literally feels so negative right now. I'm gonna be honest.
And OK Bears launched an OK Dogs. I want
to. Spoiler alert! That's the Daily Digest.
I'm about to come after this team, dude. This is ridiculous. You can't take all the animals. Yeah. Okay? We found our vertical. You try and come after us, OK Bears. I saw some people, OK Bears, that follow me. Unfollow me.
Whoa.
PFP is an okay bear. I'm no longer interested in participating with supporting this sort of bullshit. You can go.
Some stories from the Nifty Daily Digest. First story, Doodles teased a partnership with G-Shock, which is a popular watch brand. I thought this was pretty cool. Received some traction, 200 views on Twitter. People were pretty excited about this.
200 views?
200,000, sorry, and 41 bookmarks for anyone keeping track. FTX shared that it expects to be able to repay its crypto customers in full. I believe the only reason why they're able to do this is because Bitcoin is basically 2x or 3x since they had to mark the price on these, right? Or since they declared bankruptcy. Am I right on this?
They got the Jupiter airdrop.
I think it's because they They were selling deep into Jupiter.
Dude. They got a mean Jupiter airdrop with all their Solana bags, so they were just dumping to recoup costs.
So, in the case of FTX, it's because they're repaying people on a dollar basis.
Yeah.
And based on November 23 prices.
Yeah, so they literally collapsed. They marked the bottom of FTX, drew the line there, and then said, yeah, we'll pay you back based on that. So it's real nice. Never mind the fact that Solana is 10x.
10x. Literally 10x.
So,
good thing. Actually, FTX may even have a profitable quarter after the paybacks.
They're kind of crushing it. They're kind of
they're great.
Shout out, Claire, next story, Claire Silver sold out a 500-piece Corporeal drop. 500 NFTs sold for one ETH a piece. So a little 500 ETH raise there. Shout out to Claire Silver. These look pretty cool. Next story, Sansa, the NFT marketplace focused on digital art, was acquired by Artblocks. I'm going to be honest with you. I've never heard of Sansa, but I did see Snowfro talking about it and some plans for this on Rug Radio Show. Next story, OK Dogs. Were teased by OK Bears, which is going to be, correct me if I'm wrong, EZ, a collection on Ethereum.
Yes, it will be an ETH mint. That is correct.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Well, fine. I'll allow the Bears to have dogs on Ethereum. I'll allow that to happen. Okay.
Yeah, this
I'll forget it. Before, they were banned. They're now back in my mediocre graces.
They're doing the reverse, right? They're pulling a little D-gods, right? Where they're zigging when everyone's zagging, right? Everyone's going to Solana. They said, you know what? Screw you. We're going to Ethereum right now. You know, sentiment's a little too low. We like it. We see the blast airdrops coming out, the little unlock. We want to make the most of that. We're going to launch on ETH. How about that, suckers?
Alfalfa pointed out, I invented dogs. Okay? Yes. So a lot of people don't realize that I invented it.
And I heard you have now another lawsuit, first against Bored Ape Yacht Club for the bodega use, and now for OK Dogs, and you're going to be talking about them, about using the word dog in general.
Well, thank you for giving me a good tweet there, Clemente. I will be announcing the lawsuit, so let me go find OK Bears, and I will be tweeting. Just emailed our legal team. And they said, we're down to do it. You keep paying us money stupidly until your company goes broke. So we'll take your money all day long. That's what they said.
That's going to be a banger. I think that should be a banger. Those are all the stories from the Nifty Daily Digest. Actually, last story. Tether announced that they recorded a $2.85 billion in profit in Q4. Just dominating Tether. So congratulations. But easy, let's get right into it. I want to talk Jupiter. Let's just first start with price action wise. This thing debuted, I think it was hovering between $6 to $7 billion in fully diluted market cap. What I thought was interesting was the lack of movement and volatility. And it turns out that there was a little bit of FUD on possibly some token unlocks from the team going into this and then selling into. Can you break down some of the FUD and kind of controversy around it yesterday and today?
Yeah. So the main FUD was just that they're going to be taking in 7 days, $200 million of liquidity out for team, additional LP, and some other key things. So a lot of people were really upset about this. What's even crazier to me, though, is that they've been outlining this for two months, and people just don't read. So that was kind of the big issue. The other thing is, the reason it wouldn't really break past those points was because Jupiter had actually set that liquidity parameter themselves. So we were looking at, I think, like 72 cents upside, which suppresses the price from keeping it climbing too heavily, which Meow's come out and even said, like, he wished he adjusted some of the laddering system that he had in place. So it seems like it was just like their attempt at creating a truly fair market launch in which retail is the one that's actually able to buy into it. They didn't do any pre-sales, no VCs, none of that stuff. So it was all just like, hey, we're doing an open market release. And to some people, that was a bad move. To some people, that was a great move. Yeah, it's tough to really say, like, was it the right thing or the wrong thing to do? But I think the FUD is pretty dumb, to be honest. They have disclosed that they were going to be taking this capital before the launch. And yet people are just upset.
Meow, can you explain to me what the price expectation is as a result of this post FUD. I'm thinking about buying some here, right meow.
Right meow. Yeah, right meow, right meow. Personally, though, I don't know where the price is going to go. I'm still holding 70% of my Jupe just because I sold 30% for tax purposes, and I don't really know what to do with it at this moment. I'm
what almost price too scared. Yeah, go ahead, Sig.
So what I'm meow thinking is yesterday you said that there is a that you're looking at a price range of potentially picking some up in the 0.4 range. That's what you said because we know there's a floor and there's a cap. Does that change now post 24 meow
still
hours?
Still hasn't changed. No, yeah, still right meow. I'm looking at like 0.4 area. Personally, mm-hmm. I think that that's like where I'm eager to see it go to. If it doesn't, so be it. Then I don't buy more. But right meow, I'm kind of just debating what to do with my current bag.
I feel like based on this price action, I'm interested. This has been an actually incredibly stable token since the launch. And meow, I'm thinking that this is a good potential price for entry. Somewhere between here and like 50 cents, something like that, does not seem unreasonable in order to be picking this up. It does have a downward sloping curve, though. You know, that's one of the...
It's a down wedge, though. So next break should decide where it goes longer term.
I mean, we have interesting action in the crypto market as well happening during this. Initially, when we were LPing yesterday morning on the show, Solana went on a little bit of a rally into a big old dump. And so that was the situation that we were dealing with yesterday. The LPs, for anyone that continued LPing, I was out of there after a few hours. The liquidity was, the volume had gone down. There was not as much juice to squeeze. I ended up making like $1,500 from that trade. Yet,
not bad.
Solana went down, and it's not clear to me whether or not that was inevitably a good, strong position over the long haul here. But the LPing move was great. A lot of people ended up making money in our audience as well and learned about LPing. What Easy and I were saying later in the day as well was those people would soon learn about what it's like to get wrecked LPing because
they're gonna find a meme coin and think it's gonna do the same thing as Jupe, and all of a sudden you're just like, wait, I just what is this impermanent loss thing? My $3,000 is now worth 4 cents. It's like, ah, yeah, so we kind of left that one out.
Yeah. Okay, so Easy, what price did you claim your airdrop at?
Ooh, 53 cents, I think, right around there. That's 53, 54 cents.
So you said that the FUD was justified, or sorry, what was not justified.
Whoa.
The Jupiter team a bunch of jerkies?
Yeah
jerkies, yes.
Essentially. So what, I don't have much experience with this token vesting, looking into these types of launches. Is this
Clemente, good thing is you're not alone. All the FUD came from people who literally did not read the documents and were just like, this is bullshit. Like every single one of them was just like, this is horse shit. Why are you doing this? And it's like, well, you know, if you read anything, including the literal 7-paragraph essays over the last 3 months, you would have known about this and you could have FUDded it then. But all of a sudden, because the price would not break out, people just decided, yeah, now's the time. Now's the time I unleashed the FUD. And it was like, okay. I don't know.
Easy. You normally dump tokens after a pretty short period, if not hours, sometimes moments. Why this particular token, what makes you want to hold on to it?
I mean, I look at the Uniswap comparison, which like I actually like, just purely because it's like Uniswap GigaSent, right? And Solana DEX volumes flipped ETH over the last 72 hours consistently. So like for me, I'm just like, if they come out with anything at this point where they're like, you get fees, you get kickbacks, you get anything, I'm like, that's way more interesting to me. Or even if it gives me early access to their LFG launchpad, I'm like, this is great. So I'm just looking at it from that perspective where it's like, I think potential upside on this. And honestly, if they pull the 200 million in liquidity and get rid of those ladders, this price action will be significantly more volatile, which is what I'd actually prefer at this point, because it's trading like a damn stable coin. It's kind of boring to look at and interact with. It's
ridiculous, dude. The LP
so boring, yesterday dude.
Was just sitting there, and I was like, how is this possible? Like, the action dried up, and I was like, this is boring, dude. Like, what is...
Yeah, I like the volatility. Like, that's the fun part about altcoins. And, like, we saw Uniswap take 7 to 8 months to fully pan out. Would it surprise me if this took 3 to 5 months to pan out? Like, that's my main thing. I'm just like, I'm not really in a rush, and it feels different than how I usually trade coins. Purely because I just think that this one is better. It's like, it's not a meme coin. You know what I mean? Like, this is a token that actually a lot of people are using on Sol, and they use the platform. And that's way more interesting to me than chasing like one of the many, many meme coins that are the flavor of the day. So I feel a little bit better for holding this, just seeing where volume has really rallied on Sol, and specifically with DEXs. And like, I think this year is going to be entirely DeFi focused on Solana, as crazy as it may sound. But I'm looking at it and I'm like, what other airdrops are coming? We have Meteora, we have Drift, we have a ton of these other ones that are shaping up to look like they have some major potential. Why would I fade the one that's only launched when and now dupe, and more people will most likely launch on the LFG launchpad after seeing how well it did yesterday with like not breaking the chain claims that if you moved off the generic Triton RPC, which is a way for you to actually like leverage the network and used Hello Moons or Helios's or any of these other ones, you actually could have claimed immediately without any fault and even provided LPs. Like, it just shows that Solana's network is significantly better than it was a year ago. And I think DeFi indexes in general on Sol are going to end up being the winners. Like, it's just a much better experience than ETH.
Easy. You've got to follow up as well. For the people who missed like this season, we'll call it season one, and you're saying we're going into potentially DeFi summer on Solana coming up now. So what would you say people should be doing potentially to get an airdrop next year in January?
Just use Solana, like plain and simple. Use Solana. If you want to trade perpetuals and futures, Jupiter has it. I just think you don't fade it at this point, because to me, it's like you have a full calendar year to use the chain and qualify for next year's Jupiter airdrop, which is like, I think this will inevitably become an uncrowded trade in due time, because right now it's people just trying to farm it, get as much volume in to chase it right now. And I think eventually just using the chain is going to prove lucrative. And it's literally how I got my airdrop. Like, I didn't do anything crazy to farm Jupiter. I was just trading like totally normally.
Got it. I've formally launched the lawsuit. I just posted an update to it. I wrote "I pleased" instead of "I am pleased." So I messed up the tweet. I just gave an update to it. For all those that are taking close watch of the situation unfolding right now, the massive legal battle taking place between OK Bears and Bodagos. But don't worry, we're going to win in the end over this. So they got $200 million, though. That's the main thing.
Well, we have
Meow up here.
We have Meow up with us on stage, right? Meow.
Let's go.
Hey, Meow.
Hello, guys. How's it going?
Fantastic. It's great to have you up here.
We're really happy to have you here, right, Meow?
No, I was just seeing you guys, and I saw and told bye. How's it going, guys?
Great.
Hello.
What was your involvement in this scam, Meow?
That's crazy.
I don't know, man. You know what? Okay, like guys, I'll be very serious here. Okay, I'm very, very serious. Okay, just I have a few minutes here, so let me share something funny. Okay, okay. So literally, right? So you guys know last year Bitcoin, right?
Yes.
I announced I was a Bitcoin, right? And then I announced a 20% token sale, right? Make sense, right?
Yes.
And then like and honestly, I think the market just went crazy since then, right? It went totally crazy, right? And I think it went from like 20% token sale being reasonable to like, okay, how are we going to do a 20% token sale without completely draining everyone, right? You know, right? Or even it just got unrealistic, right, to do a 20% token sale, right? In many ways, right? Anyway, when you based on the community, right? So based on the community feedback, we say, okay, cool. I talked to the community and we redid the tokenomics, and then we get 10% to the community and 10% to the thing. And then we ended up with a system, right? We said, okay, never mind. And then at some point we realized, right, it was impossible to do a token sale, right? A normal token sale, right? You know, any kind, right? Whether the kind that you do a token allocation, or whether the kind that you would do the mango style, right? You guys familiar with the mango style, the mango style ideal?
No.
Okay, so the mango style ideal, right? Or we consider isolated pool. Sorry,
that's mango style.
Mango, M-A-N-G-O, M-A-N-G-O.
Okay. Mango.
Yeah. So the mango ideal was actually very popular the last cycle, right? Essentially, opens that you put tokens in the pool, right? And people put USDC in the same pool.
Yes.
So for example, if you have 10 tokens in the pool, and then you have 10 USDC in the pool, and then so one token is $1, simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. So that model was used a lot, like in the last cycle. Okay. But then it became doing a traditional token sale became very hard for us, right? Because it was very hard for us to see how we can do a token sale without taking out a lot of value, right? You know, from the ecosystem, right? Mm-hmm. And also you conflict a lot of airdrop, right? How do you do a token sale and an airdrop together, right? It's actually very difficult, you know, because once you do a token sale, you're pricing your airdrop, right? But then people want to do an airdrop. And then how the whole thing becomes very complicated. Okay. So actually we're thinking anyway, so we were thinking, okay, like what is a good way, right, to do a sale, right? But also coexist, right, with the airdrop thing. And also it seems a bit also from the energy point of view, it also felt very weird to have the token sale and the airdrop, because it felt like two events that really suck the energy, right, of each other, right? Anyway, long story short is that we couldn't figure out a good way to do a token sale or even a race, right, you know, in the airdrop. So we decided to do fuck it, right? So we decided to and we ended up with what we have today, right, which is the LFG, the LFG launchpad, right? Which is like, okay, fuck it, let's fucking go, right? So we create a system whereby you have an open market pool, the DLM pool, and the launch and the launchpad, and the whole ecosystem of bots, right? You know, so everyone just go at the same time, right? So I think working on that, so essentially, what you saw yesterday and the ranting was essentially like a process, right, of trying to iterate towards a token launch model that we thought could, okay, make the airdroppers very happy, firstly, right? Secondly is to allow the project to raise funds, right, in a way that is like very community friendly, right, you know. And also thirdly, do it in a way that's open market, right? That means that everyone participates in the same time, you know. So long story short is like that is kind of like how we came to it, you know. Yeah, it was really like trying to figure out how to do these things. How to launch token, how to do the airdrop, how to do the token sale in a way that is like as organic, right? Mm-hmm. And as like open market as possible. Yeah. So anyway, we iterated a bunch, right? Here we are, you know? Yeah.
Well, that's very exciting. Easy. Do you have a question about this? Because you were out here famously just saying, I can't believe that he did this, Meow.
Yeah, I cannot believe, right, Meow, what went down. It was for me more so, I guess I'm curious, like the laddered pricing, because that's been the center of the FUD. Do you feel that that is what stifled upwards price action? Was the way that you created the buy and sell pressure on the token? A lot of people were saying that because of the way it was structured, it was only sell pressure and basically thwarted it from potential escape velocity.
You know what? It's a great question, right? Anything I say is quotable, so feel free to quote me and tweet it, you know.
Of course, you will get quote tweeted. They will take it out of context. It's the wonders of the space.
That is how we do it, right?
Oh, it's no better way.
That's the only way to do it, right? Okay, let's go. Okay, so first of all, right? Oh, dude, I'm telling you, man, guys. Before I go on, oh my god, people are really taking things out of context, man. Holy shit.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Anything you say will be held against you in a public court of opinion.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty impressed. Like how did someone get to 300k followers and by being so stupid? You know? How does it even do it? Like, no, sorry, guys. Guys, hear me out. I had to work really hard to know many things, right? I'm sure you guys as well, right?
Yeah.
Even to get to any level of competence, right? And some guy just reads three lines and say what he wants, and then he's famous. I'm like, how does that even work? You know, right? So I'm like, wow, how do I learn that? Holy shit. You know? Oh, sorry. And you just digressing. Okay, but yeah.
It is an ultimate skill to be able to just make shit up and gain followers for it. I've been studying that art for a long time now, but there's other people that actually work hard and build things like yourself. And
Cool. That's answer question. So first of all, right? Let me answer a few things, right? Because I think a few things are not understood about what we're doing. Okay. So let me clarify. Okay. Now, first of all, it can totally reach SQ velocity. Okay. If it is priced correctly. Mm-hmm. Okay. So our failure, I won't say it's a failure. We learn, right? Okay. And one thing is that we learn, right? I've always been very clear that Joop is an experiment, right? Because let me say this one thing. If I do not use Joop as experiment, right? There's no way I can ask other people to launch here. No way, right? Because if I miss this chance to build a launch pad, then other people would not use us, right? You know, mm-hmm. That's how it works. So I think that's actually very important, right? And I feel like people don't understand why we quote unquote risk the Joop launch, but there's no choice. If we don't do it, there's no way other people do it with us. Done. Over, right? Anyway, so because it's an experiment, we're still configuring many things, right? For example, the WAN launch, what happened was that the whole thing went out of SQL velocity really fast, right? Because why? Because the curve was rather steep. So it started at it started at 1 and then 30x, right? So even some people bought at before the supply was cut at 1 MC and then 30 MC. So the whole thing just went off really fast, right? In a matter of 5 minutes, right? It was burned out, right? And then I think so it's actually totally possible to get to SQL velocity really fast, right? If it's priced correctly, okay. I think but furthermore, what happened then, right? And it's actually very important. What happened during the first one was that we got bottled really hard, right? The first so even though the curve was steep, that means that only a very small number of tokens, right, was available for cheap, right? But those guys were taken. So those guys took a lot of the early very cheap supply, right? And then later on they proceeded to dump like crazy, right? You know, on the open market. You know, right? And that actually gave the whole thing a really bad vibe. You know, that was like literally the only thing that kind of gave it a bad vibe. You know, right? And later on, for Joop, right? We were overly protective of the problem, the bot problem, right? You know, in the sense that we really didn't want it to repeat again, right? So what happened then was that we were actually going on the original plan was to go on a much lower curve, right? Similar to start from really low, like 10% of pups, 4 cents, right? You know, right? Have it go to like 2/3 of pups, right? So that was like the plan, right? You know, right? However, I think people started bragging that, oh, I'm going to retire off Joop.
Dude, I was hoping for it. Where was my Jupiter, dude? Why didn't I get 1 million Joop so I could go hang out on a boat? That's what I'm trying to figure out, you
know? Seriously, right? So you know, I thought, fuck, I'll get crucified, right? I'll fucking get crucified if I price it too low, you know, and the bottles get everything. Right? I get crucified. I'm like, dude. No, yo, I swear to God, I swear to guys, God, I swear to God. I was thinking, oh my God, I have 9 lives, right? But I'm down to 2, right?
Let's go.
Retires. Sorry, what's that?
No, I said let's go, dude. Like you gotta kill 7 of your lives on the way to wild success and launching $1 billion token. So it's all good.
I don't know what to left, man. I don't know. I lost count, man. But anyway, I'm like, dude, if I lose someone life, I'm gone, right? You know, right? So I'm like, okay, I better price it higher, right? At 0.4, right? So I'm like, okay, 0.4 is you want to board like you bought, right? On highs, and then I had a very nice curve as well. So that curve was actually very nice. So we actually designed a very gentle curve. So that curve, so a lot of liquidity was available at 0.4 to 0.5, right? So actually, that's actually good because actually a lot of people got in at 0.4 to 0.5. Right, even though our limit order in DCA didn't work that well, right? You know, so anyway, long story short is that I think it's actually more like the 0.7 created a psychological limit, right? Mm-hmm. If it's significantly lower at 0.5, right, it probably wouldn't have mattered, right? Mm-hmm. But it was 0.7, right, which was very close to the price, right? You know, so that created the certain limit there. So I think if I would do it again, I'll probably do 0.25 to 5.5. You know, right? Then I think we're fine. You know, right? because the amount that we sell wouldn't make a difference to us anyway, right? You know, but I think it will help to reach escape velocity really fast, much faster. You know?
The thing I was going to say real quick, so just a couple of things for people that just joined and are listening to this, a few things. One, Meow's the co-founder of Raccoon Labs and CEO, and they're also the developers between not just Jupiter, but also Meteora, which has a separate airdrop coming up at some point. I don't know. That's speculation. So I don't want to put words into your mouth here. Like, you guys have built some pretty incredible products. Meteora, isn't Meteora what we were using yesterday, Easy, for the LP? Yeah. Yep. So we were LPing Jupiter using the other tool that you all have built. The product's incredible. You've been around for a long time. Your energy is great. So I really appreciate you coming on and just talking about this briefly. Because, like, yeah, despite all of the FUD, like, ultimately what you're – so, like, a couple of things here. You got into the details of the pricing dynamics, and most people outside of those that are native to, like, launching projects in crypto are less familiar with setting up liquidity pools, raising money via token airdrops, all these sorts of dynamics. And what you're effectively saying is you're in a challenge where you can't do the token airdrop and combine it with a token launch, like a fair community launch. And so what you all thought was the ideal approach was essentially to, in the first 7 days when people are dumping, that's when you all would set a limit price essentially and sell into it, correct?
So it's actually really interesting, right? Because we don't actually set anything per se, right?
Okay.
If you think about it, what we are really doing, right, is that we are designing a curve, right? You know, if you go to the site, if you go to lfg.ju.ag/design, I tweeted as well, you can, it's actually a really easy tool, right, for anybody, right? Whether a degen or a quant. I talk to everybody, I talk to quants. They all love this tool, right? Because wow, I can actually input three simple parameters, right? The curve, initial price and max price, right? And I derive a liquidity bin curve, right? You know, so I think it's really more like, okay, how much, what is the starting price you want to sell at, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the max price to sell at, right? And how many tokens in there, right? And how steep or how shallow do you want it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like how, how the design tool works, right? And then based on those parameters, you know, we will create the bins in the DLM for you, right? And this DLM bin is a special launch pool bin, right? In the sense that there are certain things that, for example, it allows you to throttle early swaps. That means that early people can only, like bottlers can only swap X amount in the first few in the first X number of slots, right? You know, and also you also have an activation slot. That means that you can't trade until a certain point in time, right? So yeah, a bunch of other things, right? But there are a number of technical things that we do for that to make it work for the launchpad use case, you know? Yeah. So
who provided, Easy had mentioned this during the launch, who provided, like, usually during a token drop, one of the most important things obviously is liquidity. In this case, this was one of the most hyped token drops pretty much in the, like, I don't know, in the past couple of years, frankly. And as part of this, obviously a lot of community members, including myself and other people, jumped in to provide liquidity in order to make essentially get yield out of the volume, but also just to participate and support the token. But how do you, maybe you can just explain real quick, because I understand the price curve. How does the team get liquidity out of this? Because there was something, the conversation that I saw going around was it's something like $200 million that the team ends up getting out of this. What is the mechanism in which that money gets received? And also simultaneously, the second part of that question is, it sounds like you all are also providing liquidity at certain price levels. Am I correct?
Accurate. So let me share with you how I think about it, okay? And honestly, I think I wrote about all these things in a lot of detail, right? In my previous research posts, right? But I feel like for a lot of these kind of ideas, it's really hard to communicate when it's just a post, right? Such post, right? It's a lot easier to communicate as an example, right? So in this case, I'm really, really happy that Jupe is an example, right? So that I take all the shit and so other projects don't have to take shit. I'm not kidding. I'm very serious. Serious here. After Jupiter, every single project that launches an RLG will have no problem because everyone in the space will know exactly how it works, you know, right? So I think it's good. So let me share with you the dynamic, okay? Cool. Now, essentially the core idea of LFG, right? The RLG launchpad is that we don't know, okay? I'm not kidding. The core concept is that we don't know. How many people would dump? How many people would buy? Right? Would buying demand really over? I mean, guys, we airdropped a lot of capital yesterday. A lot. Okay? You know, I mean, right now it's like 600 million. Yesterday, the high was 700 million. 700 million stuff. It's just a lot of money, right? So it's a lot of liquidity. And even now, people are claiming dumping, right? Some bottle guy literally set up, he's an asshole, man, but whatever. He literally set up like 10,000 wallets, right? And then he did a mass claim and mass dump, right? You know, on chain, right? So basically, there's actually a lot of like buying and selling going on, right? So we don't know what's going to happen, right? Now, but what you really want is very simple, right? You really want the community to be able to, again, this is a pretty big sale, right? It's a lot of money, right? I don't even know if there is like, guys, remember this, right? I don't even know if there is, this amount of like selling, like buying demand on Solana, right? You know what I mean? To be clear. I mean, it's think about it, right? It's one thing to have purse markets and one thing to have wheels markets, right? It's relatively shallow. Make sense, right? Yeah. But we're talking about a few hundred million of demand that our supply just coming in, right? And it's a lot. In fact, people are asking us to phase us out, right? But I don't want to phase it, right? I think it's very unfair, right? Just let it go, you know. Let's fucking go. So I think given all that, given all that that's going on, right? How do we handle that? Okay, so our approach is quite simple. Number one, and obviously we want to raise funds too, right? Because we don't want to do it, and we don't want to do it in a way that it's very simple for us. So basically, we set up a pool, right? Whereby there is tokens that we are comfortable that people it would be a good deal for people, okay? That 40 cents, right? I mean, honestly, okay. Again, I think you said
40 cents.
40 cents, yeah, 40 cents, yes, 40 cents.
You set up. Sorry, I want to just pause because there is complexity to this, so I just want to make sure that we get this right.
Yes, for sure. No, pause me.
So at 40 cents, the team sets up a pool. And does that mean that you set up capital both with Jupiter? You're taking both sides of this. You're providing liquidity via Solana and Jupiter. Is that correct?
No. Okay, this is a single-sided development pool, right? It's actually even worse. So actually, if you go to the lfg.jupe.ag site, right, you can see the price curve right there. You know, right? Remember this curve thing that you were seeing on the launch site? Remember that?
Yep.
That literally shows you what's going on, right? It's like that literally, and I feel like I covered this in a few live stream before, right? But I mean, you know, people, it's hard to communicate information, right? Too many people, right? I did actually write about that pretty extensively as well in previous blog posts as well, right? But essentially, it's a single sided pool, right?
Yep.
That means that it's a sell only pool, right? But it's very simple. We offer tokens at a low price, right?
I just got it. So you're selling, it's a sell only pool, and you're selling tokens at 0.4.
Yes, that's again, I think it's gonna be too high. I think it should be 1.3. Okay, cool. But that's that, right? I think it should be 0.3, right? But whatever, okay. So, but for the Jupe case, it start at 0.4, right? You know, right? And then go to 0.7. Make sense, right? So actually, basically, there's a lot of and the way we did it, right? Is that there's a lot of liquidity available at 0.4, right? So basically, people are able to accumulate Jupe at a relatively low price, right? If they want to, right? Now, so what this pool in turn do, right? It becomes a backstop pool for dumpers, right? It becomes a stabilizing pool, right? And actually, we see that today, right? Because like even though a lot of people are dumping right now, right?
Yep.
Right now, you see it becoming stabilizing. Right? You don't really see that crazy ass fluctuations, right? And what this does is very simple, right? This actually gives buyers confidence, you know, because lots of people are probably interested in Jupe, right? But they're like, okay, you know what? Like, but there's a good, but then, but liquidity is very thin, right? you get to a point about like, but it's dumb. We let it go that crazy, right? Again, guys, remember this. We are selling, we're airdropping like 600 million tokens. Right now, right? It's a lot, right?
Yeah.
So what this pool does, right? So what this pool does, very important. You allow people to, you allow the early people, right, to be liquidity providers, right, to take out the pool, right, mm-hmm. and up to, and then at some point people start selling, right, you know, at some point people start selling, right, and then so instead of a what you call a a crazy graph, price graph, you get this like, very 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 nice increasing graph. Right, mm-hmm. You know, you guys very, very nice increasing price.
Yeah, I think you cut out.
Hey, Meow, you there? He's still on stage, but he's not speaking still.
Well, just to summarize. The one thing I'm wondering about here is how someone was able to purchase tokens at 0.4. Because holler at your boy, yo, how am I buying at 0.4 and selling at 0.6? You know what I'm saying? A quick 50% flip. How do I get in there? That's the real question.
So does this kind of explain why this debuted then at 0.4? When this thing first launched, we was sitting at 0.4 for a minute or so before kind of going up to that 0.6 range, right?
It was actually going. It just stayed at 0.4 for quite a while. Actually, can you guys hear me?
Yep. Now yes. We can hear you. Yeah.
It just stayed at 0.4 to 0.6 for quite a while, right? It wasn't that fast, right? It was I think like half an hour or something before it went to 0.6. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think I think at 0.6 is where a lot of people start selling, right? You know. So actually, there was actually a lot of quote unquote like price discovery at like 0.6. You know, right? A lot of people selling, people dumping, right? Yeah. So I think this pool worked. And again, remember, right? Having this pool here means that like anyone can dump, sell into this pool, right? Any airdropper can sell into this pool, right? You know, for 7 days, you know, right? Yeah. So it's a very effective way to it's also very friendly, right? Because remember, even if someone bought at 0.7, right, and they regret, they go, oh fuck, I shouldn't have bought Juke, they can still sell now. At 0.6, you know, which is not too bad at all. You know,
yeah.
It's pretty good. You know, right. It's pretty good.
The coin has actually been insanely stable, is the main conclusion of it. And to a degree that we were actually shocked by yesterday when we were looking at this, there was borderline very minimal volatility associated with the token. Despite so for people that are interested, ultimately they can go read your tweets where it sounds like we've explained a lot of those tokenomics. You can also see that at lfg.jup.ag/design. But there's also tweets on your Twitter account, which is, he's on stage right now. You can just click on him. If you're listening on YouTube, it's W-E-R-E meow, M-E-O-W. And he has an outline of basically how this tokenomics is going. A, I fucking love your energy, dude. Like your approach to this is phenomenal. Despite all the FUD, you've been pretty transparent about how this drop has gone down and the dynamics around it. And no matter what the FUD is, no one can deny how the price action has happened on this token. And it's happened within a very tight band. For any token to launch out the gate and to be within this range is pretty crazy.
Guys, can you tell something? Like, this is the reason why I built the LLG is this, right? I've long been extremely unhappy, right, with how Launchpad works, right? Because they tend to penalize early believers.
Yeah.
Okay, let me explain why, right? Now, if you do the most famous, right, the most famous on like FTX, whatever, not, right? The way they do it is simple, right? They give a privileged group of people, right, the right to buy a token, right? And the supply, and there is what I call a supply squeeze. That, okay, this is a very important word, okay? Supply squeeze. Okay?
Yep.
Hear me?
Yeah.
Right? Meaning that they squeeze the initial supply, right? So that, and then they hype it up, right? So it's combination of two things, right? Number one, they squeeze the supply. Secondly, they hype it up, right? So what happens, right? You have a token that from day one pumps, like create one of the day one, day minute, when we first meet in Palms, like crazy, right? You know, right? And the people that are shut out of the initial one, because they don't hold FTX, they don't hold FTT tokens, right? But they really want the token, right? So they all buy, right? Mm-hmm. So they buy at a very, very high price. And who sells? Obviously those, obviously the FTT holders, right? They sell, right? So you create a situation whereby you actually penalize your most active believers. You know, right? Make sense?
Yep.
Or the people, you create a like very, very formal, very, very formal dynamic, right?
Yep.
Secondly is that you also have what you consider to be a very erratic supply, right? So what that means?
Sorry, what supply? Sorry, I want to just make sure I got that one.
Erratic supply. Right. And remember, the stakes are much higher for Jupe, okay? Because you're not even sure if there is actually gonna be that amount of demand, right? You know, for the token, right? You know, per se, right? And then I think what we want to do was okay. We want to say, hey, you know, given everything, right? How do we create a system, right? That allows there's a lot of like liquidity at every single price point, right? You know, right? Yeah. So we create like sufficient liquidity at any given price point. That means that there's no FOMO, right? There's literally no FOMO, right? Because you can actually always like you know take your time to buy at the price you want. Right, you know, again, the one thing that's actually not great is that our limit order and DC didn't work that well, right? Whereas that users that just use swap directly worked better, so we are pretty apologetic about that, okay? And we'll really try to fix it, okay? You know, but the core idea remains, right? Is that you don't FOMO because you just saw the thing went go from 0 to 100, right? You know, right? There's actually a very if you look at the on chain charts, not the off chain charts, right? The on chain charts will show you a very very nice graph. Right, you know, that goes up, that goes slowly go up and then stabilizes.
Yeah.
Right? So I feel pretty happy about that. You know, obviously don't get me wrong. Obviously, part of me wishes that, you know, we hit escape velocity, right? You know?
Yep.
But we didn't, right? But it was good as well because now the fact that it didn't hit escape velocity, right? It allowed me to demonstrate and explain, right, how this backstop pool works. Right. So literally, right, you can literally see that the market has priced us the market has priced us at 60 cents, you know, right? Okay, given everyone dumping and farting, right? Given everyone dumping and farting, right, you know, and people buying, okay, it's 60 cents, you know, right? I mean, of course, it might rise in the days to come or it might fall in the days to come, right, you know, but this is where it's at right now, you know, yeah.
So I just want to confirm the last part of this where there's some confusion for me. So, you've architected a token dynamic that's resulted in price stability. So most people have never like don't accomplish that. So I think the market already does not understand how ridiculous and how challenging that is to set up token dynamics where you end up with that. Now we haven't seen what the price of Jupe is after a week, but I'm personally very interested in it based on the stuff that you've done.
I'm happy, you know, yeah.
Yeah. And then simultaneously, there was one weakness that was associated with this, according to you, which happened to a limit order that did not work that well, which I'm curious about, what that is. And then the other thing that you brought up was a backstop pool. So I just want to understand, what is the limit order? Like, what is that? Just practically speaking, does that mean that you're offering to buy or you're offering to sell? Or is that the 40 cent sell limit order? Is that what the situation is? Or can you just explain real quick, what is the limit order?
Sure. So basically, a lot of people were setting up DC and limit orders on LFG, you know, right?
Yep.
On site. And they didn't work that well, first of all. You know,
those were limit orders to buy or limit orders to sell.
Buy. So a lot of people didn't manage to buy at like you know 45 or 50. You know, which mm-hmm. is what they wanted to. You know, right? And they were pretty unhappy about that. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
I just want to clarify. So before the token launch, your launch pad enabled people to proactively set limit orders to buy LFG at predetermined prices. Am I correct about that?
Yes.
And that's basically creating the initial market, the same thing that you would see in a stock market when market makers enter during an IPO sort of phase. People need to jump in and set the price. So there starts becoming a lot of bidding that goes in and they allow people, the bidders, and the sellers, but primarily the bidders, to essentially set the floor on what that price is. And they compete against each other to determine that price. Am I right?
It actually works quite differently in this case. No. It's actually similar, but it's a little bit. It's actually very different, and that's actually why it's so interesting, right? Okay. Wow. Okay. How do I even begin? Okay. But in essence, right, there's no bidding here. Okay. There's some kind of bidding, but there's not a lot of bidding, right? Because because no matter what, the pool starts at this price. Okay. Like, it doesn't matter whether how much we'll bid or sell, right? It doesn't matter, right? You know, it's
okay, fair. Yeah, I should have clarified that. Basically, it doesn't matter. The price already starts at 40 cents and essentially it gets filled on the way up, right?
That's it. So we the thing about it, right? When the bots when the bots do it, they don't really care either, right? They just go. Right?
You know, yep.
Right? Just go. Because what happens is that they already know the price, right? Just go.
Yep. So in essence,
it's actually interesting because there isn't a lot of bidding. But guys, you know, it's very interesting. It's also on chain as well, right? Everything's on chain, right? So what does that mean? It means that, for example, right? It's like there are other markets too. For example, the moment very very shortly after Juke launched, there were markets being set up on Phoenix, on Radium, on Oka, you know, on Mitra. Right, whatever, right, things like that. So that actually created a certain dynamic whereby there was actually price discovery elsewhere already, right? And Bybit too, right? Bybit listed very early, right? You know, and there were like $2 orders, right? You know, for the token, you know, whatever. So I feel like the way we designed it is like, okay, we don't really care what's outside. You know, we care about ensuring that it's going to be liquidity on chain, right? You know, to handle any airdrop dumpers, right? You know, so that was actually our top priority, you know, yeah, per se. Yeah. To make sure there's any, basically the top priority was to make sure that there's always going to be liquidity, right? You know, for airdrop dumpers and also like people who and buyer's remorse, per se.
Sure. Can I just understand that like I realize that I'm getting down to elementary level, but I want to just make sure that I understand how those limit orders work. Is the limit orders prior to the market making essentially like what I mean by that is a place like BirdEye Jupiter, which is actually integrated with BirdEye, but there's an actual place where you can just go and sell to liquidity. So there's liquidity pools that are set up, but prior to those liquidity pools, these limit orders happened before that, correct? And that's happening.
Yes. The setting of the limit order happened before that. The setting, right? So you set it before that. Yeah.
And that's not part of the market making process. That's just part of people.
No, it's not.
Okay. Were those the tokens that were coming from you all? Were you all offering the supply into that those limit orders?
A bunch of things actually. I mean, like, again, it is open market. It's on chain, right? So it's not a Nasdaq, right? It's not a Nasdaq. There isn't like one place. So people were placing orders everywhere. They were placing orders by going to Mitura. They were placing orders by going to They were placing orders on the bots. They were placing orders on Jupiter. The limit order on Jupiter. So they're just placing orders everywhere. You know. Mm-hmm. So our limit order. It's not that special. It's not different from other bots, right? It's a keeper that tries to execute things for you, you know. So in that sense, it's a very quote unquote like free for all marketplace, you know, whereby you have all these like different like bots and users who try to compete with the greedy. You know, that's all it is. Yeah.
But where is the supply side coming from during that initial phase?
The DLMM, the DLMM pool is set up, right? The DLMM pool is set up.
And that pool, where's that supply coming from? That's the issuance of those tokens?
Yes, correct. If you look at, if you go to jupe.research, jupreersearch.ch, you can see everything there, right? You can see everything. Like we actually documented every single part of our token to excruciating detail, you know, right? Yeah, so you can see everything there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Clemente, can you pull? Sorry, what's the URL once more?
Jupe research, but .ch. Yeah. Joop.
Research.ch.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, the last two is ch. Yeah.
For whatever reason, we can't. Oh, you found it?
No, I can't find it. I'm same as you. I can't.
No. It's Joop Research. How to send to you guys?
Okay.
You can just send me a DM. But I'm all Nick or Clemente or the Nifty, any of the ones that are on stage, you can just send a DM and we'll pin that to the top. I don't want to absorb all of your time asking all of the intricate.
I don't take out your time either. But then I think there's this post here that I think everyone should read.
Mm-hmm.
Because we actually spend spend a crazy amount of time on it. On like the whole documentation process of how we documented
I see the URL. Clemente just posted it. It's JUPRESEAR.ch is Joop Research, correct?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, it's the one. We went to excruciating amount of detail to document like every single part of the token process.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, and I mean excruciating, you know?
and so that
we can see every single thing there.
Yeah, so there's a number of posts there. There's the Genesis post and the Launchpad modeling. And there's a bunch of details that are on that site that break out how this goes down. This is borderline PhD level theory here that goes beyond the brains of us mere mortals here.
There's a minting page, right? That mm-hmm. just talks about how it breaks down, right? So you can see exactly where the token comes from, you know, right? I sent you guys a link. It's called Joop Minting Accountability. We have this like really nice graph here that you can see exactly where tokens come from, you know? Yeah.
Yep.
So I know it's actually very important for me because one of my pet peeves is that one of my pet issues is that, like, you know, DeFi projects, whether on Solana, on Ethereum, or anything, they don't really care about, like, where tokens come from, right? You know, so it's actually a really big problem, right? So actually, we actually took a lot of detail, you know, to make it work, to write everything, yeah.
And the best post that you think here, there's a couple of posts that we see on the site. One is Joop Minting and Accountability. There's another one that I see, the Jupiter Launchpad modeling. Would you say that the minting and accountability post is probably the best one to go read?
If you're boring, yeah, it's just very boring. We just go through. Okay, we minted, and then we had this. The cold wallet was this. Okay, the cold wallet signers are Mert, Stefan, Nico, they're all very well known in the ecosystem, so no one can rob. It's like very, very operational stuff, you know, right? But then if you're interested in like operationally, like how we ensure the security and non-ruggedness of the token, then you do that, you know? You know what I'm saying? You know, right? Yeah. Yep. But then if you're interested in Joop the token and what we do with it, read Joop the Genesis post, you know, right? Or if you're looking interested in LFG and the motivations, there's a few LFG over there. Yeah, things like that, you know. So I think we in general what we do is that we spend a lot of time, right, trying to document things, you know, right? And then it's one of those things that we do it, we document it, we're not sure if anyone will read it. but then if there's any problem, right, we can say we documented it, right?
Yeah, well, most definitely. I think it's good to keep and honestly, it's the level of accountability that exists here, which it sounds like you're somebody who's saying, hey, I want to operate with integrity in this space. We want it. Obviously, part of the dynamics of tokens is that the team behind it is able to raise capital for operations of the business. The execution of your team is phenomenal. I mean, compare it to the days of like Ethereum ICOs or something like that, where people raised capital based on just promises. You guys have actual products in market that are being used by a large percentage of Solana holders. So there's a massive distinction between everyone that's providing a lot of FUD or whatever you want to call it associated with the token. There are different dynamics here at play, but when it comes to tokenomics, there's a lot of experimentation that goes on within this space to figure out the right model that exists to give the best rewards to early community holders, like you were saying, people who are enthusiastic about the product and not getting dumped on by the team or the investors, which is, I can give a whole list of tokens that have experienced that. One that comes to mind, for example, is Internet Computer Protocol, was like ICP was one of these tokens. And they ended up with a lawsuit as a result of it, which was deserved. I mean, if you bought into it because everyone was telling you, yo, I'm really excited about the way that this is being developed, which it sounded like they were developing like essentially a JavaScript-based blockchain SDK, which now Cosmos has stuff as well. But they had built something that was really compelling. And if you were someone who was enthusiastic about it, you lost all your money. And in this case, even if you bought, to your point, it's 70 cents, you're now down to 60 cents, basically. So if you want to get out of there and you want an opportunity to get out, there's an entire liquidity pool.
I love it because like, if you're a Jupiter believer, and no matter how much you believe in us, you bought at 70 cents.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's really cool. I mean, like, you can be like, oh, fuck, I'm wrong to believe in Jupiter. Fuck this guy, right? You know, you're down like 1.7. It's not so bad. You know? Yeah. I love that. I really love that. You know what I'm saying? You know? And then, so, yeah, I love that. I think it's great. You know, I feel like it's great. And furthermore, think about it, right? It's like there's no more token. There's no investor vesting anymore, right? There's none, right? So tokens, like, users know exactly, right, what's going out. You know, you have a very, very, very high certainty, right, of what is coming out of Jupiter, you know, those tokens, you know?
It's transparent. Yeah. Last question I'll ask before we wrap here is pertaining to a lot of people did not get to participate in the airdrop. I, as the sergeant of Solana, was one of those people that did not receive a sufficient amount of Jupiter, but it's all good. And what it sounds like is there's another drop for 4 years, essentially. Those unlocks are the January of next year.
Unlimited, man. I'm going to make it unlimited, man. I'm determined to make Jupilery a yearly event, man. Fuck it. You know, every year we do Jupilery. Fuck it. You know, it'd be so cool. You know, imagine 10 years later, there's still Jupilery, right? And 10% getting dropped every year. Holy shit. That'll be something, right? You know? Yeah, so every year, man, fuck it. You know?
So you're going for indefinitely, you're going to be launching tokens, more additional supply?
Why not? I mean, why not? Why not? Like, why not? Think about it. It should be great, right? Every year, it should be great, right? Every year for 9 months, users just use it, right? Just use it. You don't care, right? It's like, so the incentive very aligned, right? For 9 months, the team builds the best products, right? Possible.
Yes.
The user use it because it's the best, right? And they don't, and no one talks about airdrops and shit. It's very distracting, right? I've concluded that it's impossible to focus on product and airdrop. It's not possible. I concluded, right? If you want to do a proper airdrop, you can't do it properly, right? You know, without being crazy, you know? Right? So I do that, right? So users use it for 9 months, right? Or 12 months, whatever, right? And then from November every year to January every year, right? We do a very thorough and very open and very big process, right? We just go through everything. We reward all the people who helped us, reward all the people who bought the product, reward all those things. You know what I'm saying right now? Right. And we're happy, everyone's happy, right? So it also rewards like long-term users because, like, honestly, I'll tell you right now, if your goal is to farm points right now, right? Use something else, right? You know, I don't care. You know, right? In the sense that, like, no, I don't care. I mean, I care, obviously, right? You know, but I feel like I don't want Jupiter to be like doing like point system. It works for some things, but not for Jupiter, right? For Jupiter, you want to keep it very simple. We build something you want to use, whatever the reason is, right? And then you use it and you're happy, right? And you know that every November we're gonna start a process, you know, to think about it, to figure it out, right? To figure out what's the best way to do it. You know, then I think, and then I believe that's extremely synergistic, you know, way of building community. Yeah, I think so. You know,
and you're aligning the community with it. Only question there is, like, do you think that the price is able to remain stable when you have in this case? I'm not sure if you're being serious, but effectively infinite supply.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, no, guys. The DAO is not stupid, right? I'm not stupid, right? DAO is not stupid, right? You know. So basically, the DAO is not stupid, and the user, and again, it has to grow, right? Basically, if the project is not growing,
I get it.
Right, the project is not growing, right? No, guys. I that is my dream, okay? But the DAO is not stupid. The user is not stupid. Okay, so essentially that's my dream, right? My dream is to grow the platform and services and revenue and stuff, right? To a point whereby like, okay, it's no problem, right? You know, it's possible to do that, you know, right? It's almost like dividends, right? You know, it's almost like dividends. You know, you want to keep growing and be able to give dividends, you know, to users every year, right?
Not security dividends. Right? Okay, so this makes a ton of sense. You're saying you build the demand side because people keep using the product. More people use the product means more of them want the token. I'm assuming there's some usage of the token within the product itself, and so that's
maybe,
really.
Maybe not. I don't know. You know. Yeah. But I mean, maybe not. But certainly, I think within 4 years we'll have that, right? You know, right? So yeah. so basically, right? It's like, you know, so basically you want to build a system, right? So guys, I don't believe in constraint, right? I believe in expansion, right? You know, right? Yeah. So I think the way I think very simple, right? Like instead of being, I feel like people focus a lot on token supply, right? But what I believe a lot more in token demand, right? How do I build something that people actually want to be part of? You know, right? You know, like for example, I told the community very clearly, right? It's like for us to talk about anything about revenue sharing and stuff, anything like that, we 10x our users, mm-hmm. right? That's it. You know, we 10x our users because we are so tiny. We are still so tiny right now. You know, right? Compared to everything else, like Uniswap is tiny. We are tiny. Uniswap is tiny. Okay, I'll be frank with you guys, right?
Yeah.
You know. So let's get to the next point, right? Let's get to the next level together, you know, and then we go from there, you know.
Yeah.
I want to expand. Sorry, go on.
No, I was gonna say that makes a ton of sense. And what the summary here is: the market is tiny. We need to expand it. We need to build great products. You all are doing a great job, honestly, when it comes to Jupiter and Meow. Sorry, Jupiter and Meteora. I shouldn't have said in Meow. Is that when it comes to those two products, you guys have built something that honestly is some of the best experience inside of the crypto space. Anyone who came over from ETH and was using the products yesterday was like, holy shit, this is so much better. And it drives additional adoption to Solana, frankly. So you're doing a service from the adoption standpoint. So the dream is increased demand, and eventually supply can follow as you get demand to go up.
That's actually what we did. I mean, you're completely right. That's what we did. That's actually what we did for Jupiter, right? We spent 3 years not worrying about anything at all but demand, right? Mm-hmm. Demand, right? Like the demand for the Jupe token didn't come out of nowhere, right? It came out from very strong users, right? You know, who used us for a long time, you mm-hmm. know, who believe in our ability to execute over years, right? You know, and also you know, things like that, you know. So I think that's actually important, you know. So I feel like the goal is to grow demand, right? Essentially, right? When growing demand for a token comes in many ways, right? I feel like many people in DeFi space are quite boring, you know. They think of growing demand for token in a very, very boring way. They go, oh, how do I get revenue? How do I burn more tokens? Come on, give me a break. Those things don't matter. What matters a lot more, right, is that people want your token. I'm not even kidding, right? The best way to grow demand, value for a token, is that more people want your token, full stop, right? To have more attention for a token, to have more people use your products, right? That's the number one driver, okay? Number two driver is, okay, now, if you have enough people using your products, right, can you integrate your token into your product in some way, right? Such that there's constant reminder that, okay, cool, all right, I need this for something, you know, right? Now, thirdly comes, can you grow your revenue enough so that it becomes significant, you know? Actually interesting, you know, right? So it's actually like a few steps thing. So we are very much at step one right now. How do we greatly increase the number of people who use Jupiter and like Jupiter? I want you, you know, right? And from there you go, okay, how do we integrate it? And from there, how do we grow it and stuff? Things like that. So I feel like most people, because they're under a lot of pressure, right? From the community or city, they go, mm-hmm. oh, you know, they get really boring and stuff. I'm not interested in that. I've always been very, very clear about what I believe in, right? And I most certainly do not believe in jumping a gun. You know, I think that the number one thing to do right now is to actually like really spend a lot of time on like growing the base.
Yeah, growing the platform, expanding the functionality, and getting users on board. Look, Meow, we appreciate you coming on the show and just hopping in spontaneously. This has been an incredible conversation to learn from you about some of these processes. We've been sharing some of the links that Meow's been posting, and you can also just go to his Twitter account where he posts about this publicly. A lot of the conversation is, regardless of what you think in terms of the dynamics of how this token drop has gone down, there's a couple of facts that I think are really important to get out here. One, Jupiter and Meteora are two of the best products that exist in the crypto space. Like, just hands down, from a functionality standpoint, it works. It's been providing, and it's an evolution from, if you came from the Ethereum side, it's an evolution. Now, I don't just say this to pat, you know, Meow on the back here, because he's here, right, Meow? I genuinely do feel the product is that great. The other thing I was going to say is, if you want to learn about the tokenomics, it's on his site. We've been pinning these different aspects of it. And for those that want to understand more, they can go and check it out. I personally am probably going to pick up a little more Jupiter here as a result of this conversation, because I think your enthusiasm and your contribution to this space is legitimate. It's not like everyone's giving FUD to somebody who's actively building versus and then jumping into Blockbuster token. So like, if that's you and you're on the timeline talking about that, or aping in millions of dollars into WIF and then FUDing the fact that this team has gotten money to go build something, shut the fuck up. Like, honestly, that's like, it's a ridiculous position to have, because if you're willing to take both parts of that position, you're being a hypocrite, because the whole point of this space is literally for people like Meow and the team that's building something of a legitimate like nature to actually come in and build stuff. And we're putting our effort into FUD that, but then saying, go pump fucking WIF. Shut up. Basically, like, it's completely incongruent, and you're not doing yourself a service to this space if you're actually taking both sides of that position. And the bottom line is, like, I think it's way better to support people like this team that's going building it. Look, where you fall on the spectrum in terms of how much money is raised from one team to the next, it may be 5 million, it may be 2 million, it may be 200 million, but it's somewhere in that range. But the people that deserve it the most are the people that are out building. So I'm really grateful that you came on to discuss this stuff today with. It's very clear that your enthusiasm is legit for this space. You've put a lot of thought into the way that this product has been rolled out and the tokenomics that are associated with this. And we need more people like you to actually be contributing to continue building in this space. So I don't really give a shit what crypto Twitter says, dude. Like, you're good in our books. And like, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on.
Yeah, of course, man. Thank you. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. It's fun to. I'll see you guys soon. Yeah, bye. Anything, just ping me. Yeah, bye.
Thanks so much, Meow. You're welcome back anytime. Bye. Thank you, everyone. If you're new to the show, we do this every single weekday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time. We have Zeneca joining us on the show tomorrow. We're going to be talking NFT trading with him, in addition to some fun segments we have planned. But thank you all. We will see you all tomorrow. One more shout out to Shrapnel, the gaming partner of the Nifty Ambo Doggos. They are launching their STX1. There's $100,000 up in prizes for the top leaderboard participants. You can go check that out. It starts next week, February 8th. You can participate with a Shrapnel extraction pack. We're also giving away $500 worth of NFTs via our Twitter page right now. You can go check it out, figure out how to enter. But thank you all so much for listening. We will see you all tomorrow.